I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. With the growing concern about what is now an obesity epidemic, health advocates point to supersized sodas as a chief reason we're packing on the pounds. Mayor Bloomberg's gotten a real beating for banning them in New York, but my guest is one person who's on Bloomberg's side. Pierre Chandon, you're a marketing professor at Harvard Business School, and your work shows that our brains really are our problem here. We can't comprehend how big supersize really is.
Yes, exactly. In the research that I've done, including some that was mentioned in New York Times, we asked people to estimate the size of today's really large cups, like, you know, the super big gulp, the double gulp. And what we found is people underestimate by 30 to 40% how big these cups are. And the reason is that the brain is really bad at geometry. When you double the size of something, it just doesn't look twice as big. It looks 50 to 70% bigger.
Now, I have to say, as one who's always complaining at the McDonald's and the Dunkin' Donuts because I want the small coffee and I have to fight them for it, and, you know, you end up with the medium, which looks pretty big to me, I don't know how people can't see the difference between small, medium, or is it just when you get to large and supersize that you can't see the difference?
You do see the difference, but you don't realize how big it is, okay? So, for example, we ask people to estimate the number of ounces in Super Big Gulp, which has 40 ounces. On average, people thought 25. So 15-ounce difference is actually 150 calories. If you make a difference of 150 calories a day, at the end of 3 years, it's 15 pounds. So calories add up really quickly. And so, yes, we can see the medium is bigger than the small, etc., but we don't know really how big they are. And also, these names, mediums, large, they don't mean anything. If you go to one store, a large could be smaller than a medium somewhere else. And the stores, they are very careful not to tell you how big they are. Mm-hmm. You know, go to all of these stores, try to see where it's written, the number of ounces. It's not, never. You go to Burger King, McDonald's, 7-Eleven, they don't tell you. And of course, the reason why they don't tell you is because for them, it's more profitable to sell larger sizes. And we can go into the details, but basically it costs nothing to add a few ounces of soda or a few kernels of popcorn. And if they can make you to pay a few cents more, they'll be making more money.
Well, I can say for sure that if you fight for the small coffee and you don't get it like I don't get it, they're always saying, how about a medium, which is the large to me, and I don't want to drink all that. But anyway, that's how they do it on me, and that's just small to medium. But now what I was really fascinated about, and you put a quiz in the New York Times for people to try and to see if their eye could figure out, even after you've given us the model at the end, which says this is how much this small size is. Now look at these other pictures and see what happens. And by the way, you can go into the New York Times and take that quiz and tweet us. I'd be curious to know, while we're talking to the professor Pierre Chandon here, how you came out. It's a very short quiz. We're at Boss Public Radio if you want to tweet us. So now, what overall, after you gathered up the results of that quick quiz in the New York Times, what would you come out with? How did people do?
So people, as we expected, people underestimated the increase in sizes. It's something we've done not just with images, but with actual real products in front of you. The thing is, to double the size of a cup, you don't need to increase it by that much. So think about it. By how much do you think you need to increase the height and the diameter to double the size of a cup? Think about it. The answer is 26%. If you increase the height by 26% and the diameter by 26%, because they multiply, you get twice the size. And that's just not intuitive at all. It's basic geometry, but our eyes doesn't see it. Our eyes are not sensitive enough to realize how big the big portions are. And that's not just true for sodas, or it's true for any portions. We've done this in McDonald's and Subway. Anytime, we even ask certified dietitians, and they make the same mistake. It's not because we are lazy or we're wrong. It's because our reptilian brain is just not very good at estimating volume.
When you say reptilian, what do you mean?
It's kind of the basic functions of the brain. It's not something that's under our control. It's completely automatic. And it has nothing to do with our preferences or beliefs. For example, in the study, we asked Republicans and Democrats, people who opposed the ban, people who were in favor of the ban, and there were absolutely no difference.
That's the ban of getting rid of the supersized sodas in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so it's not a question of being...
So, just to be clear, neither group, Republicans or Democrats, could tell the difference in the supersized and the medium or the large or whatever.
Yeah, there were no differences. So it's not a case of motivated misperception. It's not like you see what you want to see. It's just like, you know, it's in front of you, try it at home. You know, take a small bottle, take a large one. It doesn't look twice as big, especially when multiple dimensions are changing at the same time. If you only change the height, it's fairly easy to see it's twice as big. But because of the geometry, because of the fact that you have to multiply the increase in the height, the width, and the length, and the eye is really bad at this, if you increase something proportionally, it just doesn't look twice as big. And the result is that we are becoming very bad at estimating quantities. But there's also something else, is that in general, we don't pay attention to quantity. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time thinking about what should I eat? Okay, diet regular, this or that. Does it have antioxidant, gluten-free, whatever? But then how much? Is we take whatever is given to us. Mm. And the thing is, until, I mean, I'm 40 years old. I don't consider myself really old, but maybe I should. But until when I was growing up, when I asked a Coke, it was a small 6.5-ounce bottle, okay? Today, even a child portion at McDonald's is much bigger than that. It's actually, in France, 9 ounces where I'm from. In the U.S., it's 12 ounces. Mm. And we don't really know how much is too much. And we're getting really... biased by the lineup and the names of these sizes.
So we're talking about how hard it is for us to tell what supersize really means by just visually looking at it. And I'm speaking with Pierre Chandon. He's a French marketing professor and visiting Harvard Business School scholar. Now, I'm emphasizing the marketing because a lot of the reason that we can't figure it out right now is because the marketer has been very good at what they've done in making what's would be, quote unquote, a normal size, large, into a super size in our brain. And I point out that you pointed out in some of your work that the Canadian coffee company, Tim Horton, changed this year their sizes. So what was large and extra large, they bumped it up to super size, and then they bumped down those sizes. So what was large is now medium, for example. So how would we know? If I go in the store and I say I want a medium, I'm getting a large now in Tim Horton's coffee shop.
Absolutely. And the thing is, we want an average size. And so what these companies have been doing is that they've removed the smallest size. That's why you have trouble finding the small size in the stores or the restaurants. And they've added a big size. So the old medium is now the new small. And so when we do the studies, we find that even people who really don't want to drink too much, they're paying attention to the weight, whatever, they are inferring what they want from what's available. And so they're going to take a medium, even if the medium is 50 ounce or 25 ounce. They just say, I want a medium. I want something average. And the thing is that for the fast food companies and also for the retailers, most of the cost is really fixed cost of real estate, labor, etc. Once you're in the store, it really doesn't cost that much to add a few ounces of soda. And so they really have an incentive to supersize. And as consumers, we like that. So we are at fault here as well because we like value and big is value. Yeah. It's only, 10 years later then we think about, how come, we've all gained this weight without really trying, that suddenly we realize that, maybe the supersized portions had something to do with it.
And I know that we know it's, and you, I'm sure you would agree with me, it's human nature. If I get the big size, so here I am, I want the small, they make me get the medium, then I feel like I really feel bad if I throw out the rest of it. I didn't want it to begin with, and I'm at least conscious of that. I will say that on sodas, I did pretty well on your test. I was off like 2 ounces. So if something was, 22 ounces or whatever, I said it was 20. If it was 32, whatever, I did really well. But I am really susceptible to marketing. I'm not saying I'm so great. Other stuff would probably work on me, packaging and cosmetics, whatever. And I note that in your study, you say marketing, health, and nutrition claims all come together to create these, what you call health halos, to make foods appear healthier. So by certain language, by certain packaging, not only do we have the supersize thing going on, but in conjunction with these health halos, we're just eating more and not knowing it.
Exactly. So the thing is, we think of food in a binary term, good food, bad food. And so if a brand is able to say, I'm good on something, I have vitamins or gluten-free or I'm organic, then some people will categorize the food as being good, meaning I can eat as much as I want, and meaning that it's probably good on every dimension. So, for example, we did a study where we told undergraduate students, here's some new low-fat M&Ms, which didn't exist. And people think if it's low-fat, it has to be low-calories, which, of course, no. It's low-fat means low-fat. Often the fat is replaced with calories. But at the end of the day, people ate 50% more M&Ms when they were labeled low-fat, when they were labeled regular. And when we asked people at the end, how many do you think you ate? How many calories? People thought that they ate as many calories as usual. So this health halo is very strong. It's driven by marketing. It's driven by stereotypes. So, for example, we think that fruits is better than soda, and it is in general. Mm. But that's why people are always surprised when I point out that apple juice, for example, has more sugar per ounce than soda, because we have, you know, this very binary way of looking at food, and it explains a lot of the issues that are going on right now. So, for example, people always ask me about the French paradox, that in France the
food is
a bit qualitatively, it's very fat and, you know, a lot of cream, etc.
And it's a big part of French culture, eating absolutely. And food, making food.
Mm-hmm. And the French always say it's because of the wine, but that's not the answer. That's the excuse. The answer is, yeah, quality matters, but there's also quantity. So they did a study where they looked at the average sizes, serving sizes of, for example, Chinese restaurants in France and the U.S. Well, the same dish was 70% bigger, larger in U.S. restaurants than in France. They look at cooking books, etc. Same thing. They look at the size of the plate, the size of the dish. Everything has been growing up gradually over the last 20 years without us really realizing it. It's only when you come from different country that you realize, wow, these portions are really big.
So is supersize a particularly American phenomenon?
Yes. But it's going everywhere, because the logic, the economic logic is the same everywhere. But the big difference, I guess, is in other countries where there's more tradition, stronger rules, norms about what to eat and how much, people still have an idea about when you should eat and how much. I mean, in the U.S., it's fascinating when I do studies with my students. I always give them pizza, and they would eat it if it's 9 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, which you never see in other countries. That, plus the fact that people eat all the time and everywhere. I just bought a stroller for my 4-year-old daughter. It was impossible to find one that doesn't have 2 cup holders. Okay, so you were constantly surrounded with food, and as a result, we're eating food all day long, and we're more likely to be influenced by even a tiny supersize that we don't notice.
So to conclude, we began this by talking about Mayor Bloomberg's ban or proposed ban on supersized sodas, which, by the way, people went to the streets and protested last week, big rallies against that, because you're taking away their free choice. So that's a policy decision. And these are policy decisions you think really have to be in place in order for us to sort of even begin to ratchet back our now obsession, I guess, with supersized food items.
Yeah, it's not going to solve everything, but I think it's the government has a duty to help. You know, when you know there is a highway and it's dangerous, the government has a duty to put a fence and tell you, be careful. You know, you can still climb the fence. And here, of course, you can still buy 5 16-ounce cups if you want to. But the basic idea is to make the unhealthy choice the conscious choice, and the healthy choice the easy one. Okay, if you just go and without thinking, you get a 16-ounce, you'll probably be happy, as happy as if you had drunk 32 ounces. But if you're on 32, you have to think about it, and it will give you pause, and then you'll make an informed decision. The issue that I have right now is that we will tell, well, it's a question of personal freedom. But what is the personal freedom when you don't even know how much you're drinking? Because they don't tell you. I think there's an asymmetry. They know the size of the cups. They don't tell us. And freedom of choice, yes, it's a great rallying cry, but you never see them worrying about freedom of choice when you don't get the tiny cup that you want, right? Mm. It's always freedom of having a bigger cup. That's why they're interested in, which makes sense because their business is to grow, you know, their sales. So I think there is an opportunity for a few win-win areas. And for example, in my research, I found that once you know how people estimate size, you can use that knowledge to downsize portions without people noticing too much. And which is one of the few areas of win-win between marketers and public health. Because at the end of the day, I don't think people in marketing want to make us fat or unhealthy. Just want to make money. It's easier to make money by selling big portions of food that's high in fat, sugar, and salt, because that's what we like spontaneously. That's why I think we need to have someone that reminds us, hey, are you sure you want to drink that big of amount? And then if you still want to do it, yeah, you can still do it. But at least it'll be your choice.
Thanks. It's Pierre Chandon, a visiting professor at Harvard Business School, scholar and a French marketing professor, and one who is never with a supersized soda. Right?
Not exactly.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to take a cue from you. I'm Callie Crossley. We've been talking about obesity and how banning supersizes, particularly sodas, may be key in helping us get to a healthier weight. I've been speaking with Pierre Chandon. He's a professor of marketing and a visiting scholar at Harvard Business School. Obesity is one of those stories always making the headlines. But what about the stories that don't make it onto the front page? I'll be bringing you my weekend review, where we focus on the news that went under the radar. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.